Our second scripture is from the Gospel of John, chapters 1 and 3, selected verses. Hear the word of God. This is the testimony given by John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who are you?" He confessed and did not deny it, but confessed, "I am not the Messiah." And they asked him, "What then? Are you Elijah? Who are you?" He said, "I am not." "Are you the prophet?" He answered, "No." Then they said to him, "Who are you? Let us have an answer for those who sent us. What do you say about yourself?" He said, "I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord,' as the prophet Isaiah said." Now they had been sent from the Pharisees. They asked him, "Why then are you baptizing if you are neither the Messiah nor Elijah nor the prophet?" John answered them, "I baptize with water. Among you stands one whom you do not know, the one who is coming after me. I am not worthy to untie the thong of his sandal." This took place in Bethany across the Jordan, where John was baptizing. The next day he saw Jesus coming toward him and declared, "Here is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, 'After me comes a man who ranks ahead of me because he was before me.' I myself did not know him, but I came baptizing with water for this reason, that he might be revealed to Israel." And John testified, "I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him. I myself did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water said to me, 'He on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain is the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit.' And I myself have seen and have testified that this is the Son of God." Now a discussion about purification arose between John's disciples and a Jew. They came to John and said to him, "Rabbi, the one who was with you across the Jordan, to whom you testified, here he is baptizing, and all are going to him." John answered, "No one can receive anything except what has been given from heaven. You yourselves are my witnesses that I said, 'I am not the Messiah, but I have been sent ahead of him.' He who has the bride is the bridegroom. The friend of the bridegroom who stands and hears him rejoices greatly at the bridegroom's voice. For this reason, my joy has been fulfilled. He must increase, but I must decrease." This is the word of the Lord. Let us bow in prayer. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. After a concert by the New York Philharmonic, someone approached Leonard Bernstein and asked, "What is the most difficult instrument to play in the orchestra?" Without a moment's hesitation, Bernstein replied, "The most difficult instrument is second fiddle." Who wants to be second fiddle? We all strive to be first, don't we? We want to achieve something in life. We want to be recognized, to be of worth, to be praised for what we have accomplished. I hold in my very hand a copy of yesterday's Star Gazette. At the top of the front page is the name and a description of the most recent achievement of Governor Andrew Cuomo. On page 4 is a photograph of Nancy Pelosi, House Majority Leader. She's looking grim, but fully in command. On the first page of the sports section is a picture of Elmira High School girls scoring in basketball against Ithaca. And next to that is a picture of the new Giants coach, Joe Judge, declared to be a real winner. Governor Cuomo, Nancy Pelosi, the Elmira High School girls basketball team, and Joe Judge. More or less, all are important people in the news of our day. In their individual ways, all are known, some well known. They are contributing their skills and talents to society and are being justly recognized for their achievements. None of us, I imagine, will ever be as well known as some of the people you can find in the popular news media. We won't become the focus of state or nationwide public attention. No doubt our reputation and influence will be limited to a small number of family and friends. And yet, we can know that even without a great reputation, without great influence, without news articles declaring our achievements and skills, without photographs of our faces printed in the Star Gazette, you and I are important. We are very important. Who we are may not be recorded in some tabloid which is read today and tomorrow thrown into the garbage. Our identities are secured by none other than our Creator, by God Almighty, who knew us before we were born, and who has recorded our names in His eternal and imperishable book of life. That's where we are. And that's who we are. You are not in this world by accident. You and I are here on purpose and for a purpose. In the 8th chapter of the book of Romans, Scripture declares that we are called according to the purpose of God. In 2 Timothy, we are told that we have been called according not to our works, but according to God's purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Before the world began. And in the book of Ephesians, we are informed that God has allowed us to know the secret of His plan, that everything that exists in heaven and on earth shall find its perfection and fulfillment in Christ. What is our reason for being here on this planet? Why are we living our lives in the Elmira area? According to Scripture, our purpose is not to achieve some passing notoriety or ephemeral fame. We are here for a greater purpose, so that we may find our perfection and fulfillment in Christ. That is our destiny. This alone makes life really worth living. The Scripture which I read this morning is a favorite of mine. It allows us to share John the Baptist's understanding of his purpose in life and how that purpose was fulfilled in the Messiah, Jesus Christ. The priests and Levites of Jerusalem were annoyed by John. His ministry was drawing huge crowds, diminishing their own influence and authority with the people. So the priests and Levites went out to see this unusual man, a man who ate locusts and wild honey and wore a garment of camel's hair. The first question they asked John was, in effect, "Who do you think you are?" Are you some self-appointed Messiah, some megalomaniac perhaps who wants power and fame? John responded, I know that I am not the Messiah. I am simply a voice crying in the wilderness saying, make straight the way of the Lord. John's interrogators were not satisfied. If you're not the Christ, if you're not a great prophet, then why are you baptizing and preaching about the imminent coming of God's kingdom? Where is your authority and what is your purpose? John answered that he simply was second fiddle. His authority and purpose were found and established in another person, in someone far greater than himself. Perhaps pointing toward the gathered crowd, John said, there is one who stands here among these people whom you do not know. Even he who comes after me, he is the one. The thong of his sandal I am not worthy to untie. He is the reason for my preaching. He is the source of my authority. Not a bad answer. Now, John was a great and compelling man. Throngs of people from all over Palestine were coming to hear him and were being baptized him. And yet, John had the humility to say that his authority and purpose were grounded in another. He was willing to subordinate himself, to minister and live out his life in the shadow of one greater than himself. The very next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him, and that is when he said, behold, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, after me comes a man who ranks before me. Notice that in John there was no contest of egos. John was not jealous. He was not ambitious for his own ministry. He didn't desire personal eminence or fame. Beholding the Son of God, John was prepared to bow down in worship. He was willing to play second fiddle. He declared, he, the Lamb of God, must increase, but I must decrease. What good words for us to note and follow. Listen again to this declaration of Scripture. Everything, everything in heaven and on earth shall find its perfection and fulfillment in him. In Jesus, John's purpose in life was perfected and fulfilled. Therefore, John was happy, not hateful. John was elated, not envious. He knew his place in life. It was second place, but second place was good enough for him. What about you? Are you driven to achieve success? Are fame and fortune your goals in life? Do you long to have your picture on the front page of the Star Gazette? You were made for better things. Your purpose extends beyond this little world. Your destiny is in the heavens. God recognizes who and what we are, and we will accomplish what we were meant to accomplish. Leave center stage for the one who really matters, and be content to play second fiddle, for in that one we shall find our perfection and fulfillment designed by God. There was a little fiddle who wanted to be great, playing solos in the orchestra and doing things first rate. The one who led conducting had other plans, although he asked the little fiddle to sit in the second row. Though his place was not he wanted, The second, he just couldn't see. The fiddle came to learn in time that that's where he was meant to be. Let us bow in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, in this day, when we hear so many calls to find ourselves, to develop our inner potential, help us not to neglect your call, which is deeper and more compelling. Help us to be nothing more and nothing less than what you want us to be. Through Jesus Christ we pray. Amen.